Good morning, everyone. Aren't you glad to be here this morning, whether you're joining us online or here in person? It's been great. Thank you, worship team, for that awesome time to worship the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For those that are joining us this past Sunday, we shared that we are doing a Bible study together this summer, and we're using something called the Bible Project. And so this summer, as many of you are on our weekly email called The Loop, you will find every Wednesday morning the text where we're going to look at in the scriptures in the Bible. You will find this, the video. So for next Sunday, you will see that this coming week, we want to encourage everyone to at least watch it once. I've watched this video that just played quite a few times already, and I still get so much out of it. There's so much packed in there. There are Bible study questions, reflection guides. There's another five-minute devotional message on that passage. So the more you're able to dig in, the more you will get out of what we're trying to do here. So welcome again to our summer Bible study through parts of the Bible Project. And there are so many different teachings on the Bible Project website, but we're going to focus on a handful of the Church at Home series. So you'll see that all laid out for you. The Tree of Life, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and then we'll look at 15 and 17. And I'll try to highlight some of the things that you just saw on this video. Starting in verse 8, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then looking at verses 15 to 17, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die." This is God's word. From the very first pages of the scriptures, we see that God had created a garden, an Eden. And in many ways, you'll see this analogy go back and forth between a garden and a temple. It's the place where we flourish when we are connected rightly to our God, our Creator, our Maker, our Shepherd, our Guide, our Leader. The Tree of Life is in the center. The tree itself is not a god. There are some religions that would look at the created order and worship it in and of itself. And the Bible does not paint that kind of picture, but there it connects us to the Creator, connects us to the Lord. And in it, we find the life of God, a flourishing that we've spoken about in the past, this Garden of Eden. But God makes it very clear, because unlike the creatures of the animal order, God has created us with a will. And ultimately, we may ask, why did he create the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If that wasn't there, then everything would be perfect. And yet, this test was critically important, because in exercising our free will, it shows that we want to love God, and we show it by obedience and trust in his word, in his character. And when the serpent came, in those few words, did God really say? The temptation began to set in. They had not yet sinned, but through the doubting of the character of God, maybe God is holding something back from us. Maybe he hasn't given us his all. The thoughts of temptation and doubt on the character and the goodness of God began to grow. And we know that both Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And according to one theologian, they committed cosmic treason against their Creator. It's not, what's the big deal about just eating an apple from an apple tree? No. God could have put any kind of law or rule there. But he did it to see if we would freely obey out of love for the Lord. And instead, they chose to disobey. And God sternly warned humanity, our perfect representatives, Adam and Eve, that if you so eat of it and disobey my word, you will bring upon yourself death. And so two questions in this Bible Project lesson we want to keep in mind, and I'll end with this as well, and we'll put it up on the screen, is this. The first question is, will we rely on God for wisdom and eternal life? Will we rely on him, his word, his character, his truth for wisdom and eternal life? Or secondly, will we defy God's warnings and define life on our own terms, by our own understanding? And these two questions that are posed to us this morning are not just for Adam and Eve, but for every generation, including us today, young and old. Where do we turn to find wisdom and life, eternal life? And what happens when we choose to look elsewhere and defy God's warnings, his commandments, and define life in our own understanding? And so what began in a garden, God ultimately would redeem. And this theme of trees, this theme of the garden, is one of the most numerous occurrences other than God and humans that we find in scriptures. If we take apart a tree, we think about its fruit, the branches, the root, the forest, the vine, the leaf, we will actually find 811 occurrences in both Old Testament and New regarding any allusion to a type of tree. This is critically important as we try to get the big picture of what the scriptures is all about and how it connects us to Jesus. In the video that we just saw, we saw that God created a garden and in it the tree of life. Later, Moses would climb a mountain and meet God in this burning bush, this burning tree. Holy ground. In Psalm 1, it's not a coincidence that the righteous one is what? Like a tree planted by streams of water. Can you see the theme that we find throughout the pages of Scripture? Jesus himself said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus in his Gospels, in his preaching and teaching, Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is what? Like a little mustard seed that becomes a great what? Tree for all the birds of the air to find a refuge in an Eden. And so this is what we find as we think about this theme of the tree of life throughout the pages of Scripture. Trees, especially the ones that connect back to meeting God and knowing him, are a divine blessing, a gift. It's not something we earned. It's not something we deserve, but we have been blessed with to connect with God. And God made it very clear in creation, Genesis 1:29, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree of fruit producing seed, it shall be food for you. But in Adam and Eve's cosmic rebellion, their treason against the character, the command, and the word of God, that they have defied God's warning and defined life now on their own terms, their own understanding, what do we see here? Behold, the man, Genesis 3:22, has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. And so they were banished. The story rightly could have ended there, and that would have still been just from God's perspective. to be forever banished and cut off from the life of God is justice. We forget that. But God, because he's not only holy and just, but he's also merciful, loving, and good, begins to unfold the plan of redemption that we find along this theme of the tree of life. And so as God calls one of the seed of Eve, a man named Abraham, to begin a new family, not one of just a physical ethnicity, but one marked by trusting, loving faith. Faith in the character and the word of God. And the Israelites, as they would establish under their king, King David, would establish a city called Jerusalem, which in many ways, as we follow this theme, is described as a new Eden on earth, where the temple and the Holy of Holies is where we would meet God himself and dwell with them again. Have you ever thought about that, that the city of Jerusalem is like a new Eden, where God is creating a new family, redeeming them by his grace to be worshipers and to enjoy his presence and power once again? But once again, every generation is challenged with these two questions. Will we rely on God and obey him for wisdom and for life? Or will we live life by our own understanding? And the history of the Israelites over and over again is that they would disobey and they would turn their back against God and try to define life by their own understanding. And so God sends the prophets over and over again to remind them to come back to the one who can give you true life. Stop looking for life in the wrong places that in the end will kill you. That is a theme that we find through the rest of the pages of the Old Testament. And it's fascinating when you study the prophets, both major and minor, the themes by which they call the people of God back to the one who truly brings life. Isaiah 10, 33 through 11, 10, let me just read part of it. Then in that day, the great prophet Isaiah says this, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Once again, the theme of the garden, this tree, comes back in the teaching and preaching of the prophets. Ezekiel 47, I'll put this one on the screen, verses 1 and 12. This is what Ezekiel preaches. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Here you see the blending of the Garden of Eden and the temple where we go to meet God. The water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. It all goes back to the garden. Can you see that? And the prophets are calling the people back to God and trying to show them once again, find life by choosing God. And we see the theme of the tree of life and the Garden of Eden blended together here with the idea of the sanctuary, the temple of God. As Jesus began his public ministry, he continued that theme. We talked about in Matthew 13 that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a what? A tree. So that the birds come and perch in its branches. Jesus' parables fit into this image and reference back to the Garden of Eden. As he talks about the kingdom of God is at hand. And just like the video pointed out in John 15, verse 1 and 4 and 5, listen to Jesus' words. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, what? You can do nothing. Here, once again, we see the connection back to the tree of life, the Garden of Eden. And Jesus now comes as the Jewish rabbi, as the teacher, as the prophet, and as the Son of the living God. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. It's fascinating if we had time to trace through the rest of the New Testament. But the word cross, when we look at the New Testament, is often referenced as a what? A tree. Look with me in Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him what? On a tree. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a ruler and deliverer. In order for us to find life in God, someone has to pay the punishment, the justice, the death that comes when we choose not to follow God and go our own way and live life in what is right according to our own understanding, our own mind, and our own decisions. Listen to Tim and John's exchange in the video that we just saw, referring to Jesus dying upon this tree. Jesus exposed how corrupt humans are, how much they love false trees of life. And so Jesus presented people with a new choice between life or death. John says, and this time they don't just choose death, they also choose to attack the one who stains all life. Tim, yes, Jesus is led up to the top of the hill where he dies upon a tree. The cross is the sad and violent result of humanity's desire to do what is good in our own eyes. John, the tree of life has been overcome by the power of death. Tim, well, it seemed that way. But Jesus said that he was a seed of God's life that would die in the ground, but then grow into a plant that would bear much fruit. So to defeat death, Jesus went through it for us. And Tim ends this exchange, yes, Jesus said he is the vine and we are his branches. So not only do you eat from this tree, you're invited to become part of it, helping produce its fruit so that his life and love can spread through us to others. And so this is the heart of the gospel. And we're reminded that what began in a garden, we see in the picture of the temple, we see in the city of Jerusalem, we see in the ministry of Jesus. And when we turn to the end of scriptures, what do we find? This blew my mind away. Revelation 22, 1 through 2, and we'll get ready to end with this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What began in a garden would transfer to a city, but then would end up once again back to the garden. As we look at the very end of scriptures, Revelation chapter 22, the tree of life yielding its fruit without ceasing for the healing, for the life of the nations of the world. This is how it's going to end, brothers and sisters. And so as we tie all these things together, let me end with three applications and I'm done this morning. First of all, we are warned that we are not Adam and Eve, but just as the descendants of Adam and Eve, the Israelites and us today, every day we have a choice to make. And we are warned of the danger of the false trees of life that for some reason, because of our sinful nature, we are always drawn to. Did God really say? We are warned as we look at the story of God's people from Old Testament to New, that great temptation to look elsewhere for life. But we are warned, be very careful. Be very, very careful of the many false trees of life that look so good, that seem to offer so much, and yet we know takes us away from the will, the heart, and the love and life of God. Be very careful of the false trees of life that take us away from the life of God found in the person of Jesus. Secondly, we're reminded as we've looked through the pages of Scripture that Jesus is the true tree of life. Apart from Him, the life giver, the Son of the living God, we can do nothing. And this morning, as God's people who have been redeemed and are following Him, we proclaim that boldly. And that's why we gather here this morning, not just to see one another, our old friends, after a long pandemic. No, it is to reconnect with Him as we abide in Him. We find life. We will bear fruit. Not because we're concentrating, let the fruit come out. No, but as you abide, the fruit will naturally come. Jesus is the true tree of life. And thirdly and finally, daily feed from the tree that gives true life. Yes, once you have experienced the regenerating power of the gospel and come to know Christ as Lord, as Savior, yes, I believe that you are forever His. But every day we have a choice. Do not run to the trees, the false trees that seem to promise life, but in the end will leave you empty. Whatever that is for you and I. Remember that Jesus is the true tree of life, and daily feed from Him. And so I end our teaching time this morning and our very first Bible study project. Was this helpful to go through together? All right. Great, great. So we'll end with this, the two questions as we come to the end of our time together. Will we rely on God for wisdom and eternal life? Or will we defy God's warnings and define life by our own understanding? Every day we have a choice. It's not just some historic example in the early pages of Scripture, but every day we have that choice. The people of God struggled, and Jesus died because we could not keep our end of the deal. The one who obeyed His Father's commands to a T, perfectly, the only one that lived righteous, perfect, sinless, was crucified on a tree because you and I could not keep our end of the deal. But if you come to Him today, as you die to yourself, your flesh, your sinful desires, just what we saw in the video, and become engrafted to Him by faith, you will find the life of God pulsating in you. You will bear fruit that touches the lives of men, women, and children all around you. And people will experience the life of God, Eden, through you, your family, and this church. For the glory of God in Jesus. Amen.